Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for May 22nd. I'm your host, Paul White. Well, we have arrived at the end of the second chapter of the book of Ruth on our journey through this little Old Testament book, this glimpse into a type of redemptive love where Boaz will eventually redeem Ruth. You can tell, for those of you who have been tracking with us, that that's the journey that this book is on, especially in light of the fact that we have spent some time in other sermons and other places talking about redemption and kinsman redemption and what it looked like through the lens of a Jewish audience. And then when you start to take a look at this book, you see the glimpses of Jesus in the character Boaz. If you haven't seen yourself in Ruth, at least in her background and in her inadequacy and in her unworthiness, then I would challenge that you're not reading the Bible fairly, because if you only see yourself in Ruth, and I might be out of line saying this, I mean, I don't know each person listening, but I know who we are in general. If you read the book of Ruth and you see yourself only through the lens of, I'm the faithful one who would sing that song to Naomi, I would be faithful to Boaz's field, I would only go where he said to go, then I challenge you that you haven't been fair with your own self in your life. In Ruth, all of those things are fine, but what we should see first and foremost is that Ruth is like us in that she is from an unqualified land. She has a shady background. She has no past performance to lean on that makes her righteous or look good. Her very heritage and culture come into question with its practices and its problems. She is broken. She has been abandoned. She has suffered great loss. She is a stranger in a strange land. All of the good that comes out of her comes from that place of so much bad coming out of her. And if you want to be fair when you read the text, and you want to see yourself, by all means, see yourself as faithful to the field of Boaz and see yourself as faithful to Naomi and singing that great song of Ruth 1. But please don't forget from where you came and from what background you are from. And if you forget that, you stand the chance of not recognizing potential in other people. I think that part of the reason why we don't always see the best in people is because we have forgotten where we come from. We've forgotten that really we were Ruth the Moabitess. This constant repeating, look at Ruth 2:21, Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by the young men. The text over and over and over again in this little book calls her Ruth the Moabitess. It doesn't always, and in fact, it's a pretty interesting study to see how it starts to lessen it. The more she becomes the object of Boaz's affection, the literature lessens the phrase Ruth the Moabitess and just starts calling her Ruth a little more often, as if now that she comes under the protection of him, her old identity isn't as important, and that is certainly true for you and I as believers, but we still don't ever forget who we were and where we come from. And I think that, again, part of the reason why we're less likely to promote people, or that might not be the right word, see the best in people, see the potential, there it is, what they could be, is sometimes because we have them stuck too much in what they were, but we don't realize that such were some of you. You know, Paul says to the Corinthians, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you're justified. I read that for years and thought what Paul was saying is, hey, you're not that anymore, you're this. And I think that is what Paul's saying, but I don't think that's all that Paul is saying. I think that Paul is also saying, hey, before you're so hard on people who are all of these bad things, just remember, such were some of you. That will help you to navigate a world where you start to feel as if it's going to hell in a handbasket. You hear Christians say things like that, and maybe not that statement so much because it's sort of cliched, but people still look at the world and go, oh, it's such a terrible place. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't agree with that. I think there are bad things going on in the world, but it's not getting worse and worse. In fact, it's getting better and better. But at the same time, I think that the reason why we look at the world through that lens in some respects is because we've been so distanced for so long from who we used to be that we've almost forgotten the power of redemption. And the redemption will keep you optimistic because it will cause you to realize that if you can be transformed, why can't someone else be transformed? Let's close this second chapter today. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good, my daughter, that you go out with this young with his young women, and people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. And this concludes the second chapter, and that's about 50% of the book. And if you are laying the narrative out, we have had our encounter of Boaz and Ruth. We will now have the encounter of redemption initiated. Initiation of redemption in chapter 3. Finished work redemption in chapter 4. And so there are some progressive stages that I think you could line these up with some things that happened to us in the New Covenant. And we'll try to do that as we journey into chapter 3. But how we go from a state of Ruth the Moabitess to Ruth, wife of Boaz, great-grandmother of David, great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus, metaphorically, of course, but how do we get from point A to point B? Really, I guess we could say point A to point Z, because there's a lot that happens here. But that digging into that will be the treasure that we have. We'll start that work tomorrow when we begin the verse reading of chapter 3, verse 1, and I would give you a little heads up for some homework. Read that third chapter. It's only 18 verses long. I think when you read it, you're going to want to read chapter 4 because there's also some, it's going to be hard to lay off because you're going to get into the meat of the story. And then on Friday, we will present for you Long Form Friday, and I've got something up my sleeve, and I think you're going to enjoy it. We'll get back at this tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.